If you're trying to build or renovate a house in this country, you would want to have your wits about you and a pile of cash. Inflation has driven up the price of every brick and every hour of labour, and that's if you're lucky enough to find a contractor. Today, we're going to try to get to the bottom of what it really costs to build a home in Ireland. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. Now, we were inspired, I suppose, to record this podcast after our recent conversation with Paul Dunlop. And as you might remember, Paul's home in Donegal was destroyed by defective blocks. And he told me about the financial struggles that people who are affected by it are facing as they try to rebuild their home and really their lives.
The reality is that it's not a 100% grant. You don't get the full cost to remediate your home. It's still not going far enough for many families. A lot of people don't have enough money to start the rebuild, so that's an issue. You have to have money in bank to start the process. So you must have probably liquidity of around sort of 30 to 50,000 euro in your bank to start the process, because you've got to pay things up front and then you claim it back. And a lot of people don't have that money.
That's Paul Dunlop, and you can listen back to the full story if you check out the News Talk Daily page on newstalk.com or wherever you find your podcasts, and I would recommend you do that. But today we're turning, I suppose, to the bigger picture. Whether you're funding your own build or you're using the state's redress scheme for defective blocks, the true cost of building is daunting, with material and labour prices rising month on month, year on year. So what does it actually take in hard cash to get from site or condemned house to a new front door and keys in hand? Well, to help us understand that journey, we're joined by Claire Irwin. She is, of course, a well-known quantity surveyor and a familiar face from RTE's Room to Improve. I'm sure many of our listeners tune in on Sunday nights to watch her and Dermot Bannon. Claire has worked on demolitions and rebuilds, calculating the real costs for families facing this crisis. And she's here to explain how the figures stack up and the challenges that lie ahead for anybody who is trying to build or renovate a house in Ireland. You're really welcome to News Talk Daily, Claire.
Thanks for having me, Ciara.
I said you'd want to have your wits about you, and I am not underestimating that. You would want to be in the full of your health to take on a building project in Ireland, or a full gut job, as I have done twice. It is no mean feat.
Oh, it's not for the faint-hearted. You definitely need your wits about you, and it can be a stressful process. It brings huge joy at the end of the projects when you're sitting in a beautiful newly refurbished home or new built home, but it's a long process to get to that point, absolutely.
I love you saying it can be stressful. Are you telling me there's people who've done this out there and it wasn't stressful for them?
It is possible, and it depends on the type of person that you are, but that's where quantity surveyors like myself and a full design team come into play. You know, if you have an architect on board and a quantity surveyor, or entire role is to make the process smoother, less stressful for the homeowner, foresight any pitfalls that could possibly come up, and just be a shoulder to lean on to the homeowner. You know, obviously my role is to manage the cost and all the rest, but emotionally and financially, just to try and ease the stress and the burden on the homeowner, that's a big part of the role, to be honest.
So part quantity surveyor, part therapist.
Yes.
Well, where were you when I needed you over the last few years? So let's start from the very beginning, okay? I'm going to go with somebody who is building on a site, and let's just say that site has services, and that's the state that a lot of those homes in Donegal, those defective homes in Donegal, will be in. They have the services, they have the sewage, they have the water, they have the electricity. Where do you start in terms of trying to calculate what the costs are?
So it's down to really what region in the country that you're living in. The costs vary, understandably. It's a bit more expensive in, say, the Dublin or the Leinster region, or if you're up in Donegal where I live, the costs are a little bit less, but they're still extremely high. So the Society of Chartered Surveyors of Ireland, the SCSA, they have a rebuild calculator on their website. It's updated every year, and myself, along with other chartered quantity surveyors, we participate in the production of these rates. So that's a good place for homeowners or potential homeowner owners or new builders to check, first of all, to see. So if you're building 150 square meter house in the Dublin area, you can log on to their website and it'll give you a rate per square meter. So in Dublin at the minute, the rate on the website is 3,190. So if you multiply that by 150 square meters, you're talking about 478,500. Whereas if you're in the Northwest or Donegal region, the rate at the minute is about 2,633. Multiplied by 150, so it's about 394. So that's an easy way for a homeowner to go and see. But generally speaking, homes that I'm managing the quantity surveying over in the Northwest region, they can get their a new home built for in and around the €2,500. And it just depends how well you need your house finished. So if you want to, if you were happy enough to not have some rooms completely finished, maybe not all of your fitted joinery, not all your wardrobes fitted. You know, if you're willing to go be a little bit more economical on your floor coverings, your wall tiles, etc., you can make savings along the way. But on a broad stroke, you need 2,600 a square metre.
What drives that variation? Is it that the material costs are different between Dublin and Donegal, or is it generally the labour costs that are different?
Well, the material costs would be in par, to be honest, you know. Yeah, it's more the labour and the availability of labour. So these rebuild rates are calculated on, and they're published on the SCSI's website every year. And we recalculate it yearly just to ensure that we're up to date with our labour rates and our material rates. But it's mainly the labour that's driving it. Yeah, like during the COVID times, the materials were just constantly increasing and increasing. That's starting to bottom out a bit now, but labour is soaring at the minute.
And what are you getting for that? I mean, are you going into your front door and you have floors, you have an installed kitchen, you have your white goods, you have a downstairs bathroom, an upstairs bathroom, is it tiles? What are you getting?
I always say to homeowners, if you could pick your house up and turn it upside down and shake it, it's the thing that you would hope that wouldn't fall.
Okay, so you're not getting a bed, you're not getting your rugs, you're not getting your soft furnishings, you're not getting the new sofa. It's none of those things. Is it painted?
It's painted. There's floor tiles, there's wooden floors, there's stairs, there's skirting, there's arch drop doors, there's a kitchen. There's a utility, but you wouldn't have loose furniture, beds, sofas, carpets, mats, that kind of thing.
Have you any landscaping done outside?
Well, landscaping's always a separate budget. The price per square metre is to build the house, but you would have to allocate a sum of money then for your external landscaping. So if you wanted a driveway or some paving around, you know, you might need to allocate another 10,000, maybe 15,000 if it's a big area. If you want plants, you know, you have to allocate additional money for that. If you wanted a garage, that's an extra as well.
And would you be guaranteed, based on those figures, of ending up with an A-rated house?
Absolutely. These figures are based on today's building regulations, so you would have an A-rated home.
So give me a sense of how the costs have risen.
Yeah, so say pre-COVID, the rate per square metre in the Leinster region, say, for example, would have been closer to the 2,200, 2,300. So it's jumped about €700 square metre. In Donegal, it's something similar. You would have been able to build a house pre-COVID for about €1,800 or €1,900 per square metre. And now it's over the 2,500. It's 2,600 on the rebuild calculator. It's massive. Now, the most of the dramatic jump occurred over the 3 years where we were battling COVID and lockdowns and the lack of materials and the availability and closures and all the rest. But it has continued to steadily rise. It hasn't risen as much over the last year and a half. But
it didn't fall back anywhere close to what it was pre-COVID.
No, never, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's really, really difficult for a homeowner to be expected to build, or for a person to be expected to finance a rebuild at those rates. You know, if you're trying to get a mortgage, you can get a mortgage for four times your wages. Look, it's very difficult to build a house at the minute for less than €500,000. With this staggering €500,000.
And if you're a builder, are your costs the same? If you're trying to put up an estate somewhere, are they ultimately the same costs?
So builders' problems primarily are the cost of the labour. And obviously the materials have risen, but the labour and all of their subcontractors, they're bringing subcontractors in to do their plumbing, their plastering, their electrics, you know, the windows. They would have employees directly employed, but wages, the minimum wage has gone up. The cost, there's a wage set for construction workers, which is higher than the minimum wage. Fuel, everything has just risen dramatically over the last few years. So sometimes people have the perception that the contractors are completely
cleaning up
and charging extortionate rates. The rates are so expensive, don't get me wrong, but it's all of the materials and the labour, and I wouldn't imagine that their profit margin has risen dramatically compared to pre-COVID, for example. Now, there is much more demand now, so they would have more work on their plate than prior to COVID. But
and is it just a simple case of supply and demand when it comes to those labour providers? They're in short supply and you've got to pay.
There's such a shortage of skilled labourers. There's a shortage of plasterers, of painters, of tailors. And the people that you can source, you know, the cost of hiring them on is just startling.
Yeah, and I know that as somebody who did a house 3 years ago and continues to try and finish this house, which I accept is a completely privileged position to be in. And people have said to me, friends and family who are trying to get on the property ladder, we would love to have that problem, Ciara. But every time you try and bring in a tradesperson into your house to, let's say, fit a wardrobe, or this week I'm fitting the utility room, it's thousands. It's a multiple of thousands. It doesn't matter what I try to do, it is a multiple of thousands. That's where you're starting.
Exactly. And it's so difficult to get somebody to come to your house to do one job. The subcontractor's loyalty obviously rests with the main contractors that they're working with continuously and that feed them constant work. But if you're in the middle of a city and you're trying to find a painter, that can be extremely difficult if you don't know one. But everything, every job or task that you embark on in your house, it's not hundreds, it's thousands these days. So it's very, very difficult to finance any projects, to be honest.
What is the average rate now for a skilled labourer in Ireland?
Well, the minimum wage for someone working in the construction sector, I think it's 18.50, if I'm around that. It's fairly high per hour. You know, you're talking at least 250 or €300 per day to get any sort of a tradesperson in by the time they pay their employer covers holiday pay, their wages, all of the taxes associated, a vehicle to bring them to your house, insurance, petrol, diesel. It's at least 250 to €300 per day to get anybody to come to your house to do a task.
That €18 you quote there, I think that's for, you know, the first rung of the ladder, the people without years of experience. It just goes up and up and up. And if I got a labourer to come to my house for that, I would think I have done well. He would be getting breakfast, lunch and dinner, chocolate, coffee, whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
And if there's a labourer out there who wants to do work for me, please do get in touch.
The SCSA also have a really good document on their website for people that are doing a small bit of work or who are bringing a tradesperson in. And when you read it, it's just common sense. It's a short document. It's a few pages long. But it's tips when you're embarking on any sort of work. So just simple things like because it's so difficult to get subcontractors to come in, but just simple things. Sometimes, like you said, you'd just be so delighted to have anybody to come and price it and to do it. But there's simple things to look out for. You know, ask for references. Check, have they given you an itemized breakdown? Are they VAT registered? Do they have insurance? You know, ask, maybe can you go see work that they've previously done? Because you can meet cowboys as well.
Yeah, you know, the problem is you're so delighted to get somebody into your home, you don't start questioning. and you just, you've been waiting for a year to get a wardrobe installed and you're happy to pay the thousands because, you know, you can't live with the chaos in your home anymore. And in relation to that SCSI link that you're talking about there, we'll put that underneath the podcast in the show notes for anybody who wants to check that out. There are the other costs that maybe we forget about sometimes, and that's if you buy a site in this country that's not serviced and doesn't have planning. Talk to me about the costs that they bring and the delays that they bring.
Yeah, so that can be very tricky. If you buy a site that is does not have electricity, water, data, all the rest right at your front gate, you're going to have costs to bring them. So if you bought a site, say for example, 100 meters up a lane, and the electricity was at the bottom of the lane, 100 meters away, you would have to apply to the ESB for a connection, first of all. You'd have to apply to Irish Water for a water connection. And then you would have to pay the cost to bring the water and the electricity up that 100 meters up to your site. Then there's also connection fees for connecting the electricity, the water up to your site. Same for if you want Wi-Fi, you're going to have to bring a cable duct up there. So to service a site can be time consuming because you have to wait on those services to be connected, but it also can have huge financial consequences. So you'd be talking at least 10 to maybe 20,000 euro to service a site.
I know somebody who had a site and then they end up sold it because of how expensive it was going to be to bring services to the site and the time that it was going to take. And they were obviously having to rent a home while they were trying to build on this site, and they just sold the site in the end and bought a second-hand home. They just gave up.
Yeah.
It was such an extra headache. And the one other cost I think people don't realise sometimes is if a builder builds a house in Ireland and they go to sell that house, there's also a VAT put on that, which drives up the price.
Yeah, there's 13.5% VAT put onto the cost. So that's a huge sum of money. In Northern Ireland, new builds are actually zero VAT rated, which is amazing for anybody building a new home. But yeah, that's a huge cost that you have to factor in.
And we should say, you know, there are, I know, grants available out there if you're retrofitting your home. You get them after you spend the money. But anyway, you know, there is money out there that does help, that does perhaps go some way to addressing these costs. But look, you still need to have a small fortune in the bank.
You do. And if you're building a brand new house, there is the Help to Build or the Help to Buy scheme if you're buying a house. And with that scheme, you can get up to 30,000 euro of tax back. So say, for example, if you were taking out a mortgage for 450,000 to build a new house, if you have paid 30,000 euro of tax over the last 4 years, and that could be you and your partner, whoever's names are on the mortgage, you can get up to 30,000 euro back in tax. So that's the main thing that's available for new build homes or people buying first-time homes. So, and it's only available to first-time homeowners. But then if you buy an existing property, there's a few different grants available for those homeowners. So there's the vacant and the derelict property grants. So if you buy a property that was vacant for 2 years, there's a grant of up to 50,000 euro. If you have structural works required to that home to bring it back to a livable standard, there's another grant of 20,000 euro available. So that's 50 and 20. So that's one set of grant funding that's called the Creconia Vacant and Derelict Grant Scheme. There's also the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. They have grant funding for energy upgrade measures to existing properties. So if you buy an existing property and you decide to retrofit it and bring it up to a B2 energy rating or better, the SEEI will give you grant funding to help support those works. So the grant funding, it's set amounts of money for energy upgrade measures. So if you insulate your floor, you get 3,500 euro. If you dry line your walls, you get 4,500 euro. So the more you do, the more you get. But generally speaking, to get it up to a B2 energy rating, homeowners are insulating the walls, the floors, the attic, putting in a heat pump, changing the windows and doors. Those homeowners are getting in the region of 25,000 to 35,000 euro. So that's a bit of a help also. So if you buy an existing property, you could potentially get the vacant and the derelict grant, the SEEI energy upgrade grant funding. So you could get up to about 100 grand's worth of grant funding to help support your project.
Not many people manage to tick all of those boxes, realistically.
Do you know what, Kira? Over the past year and a half, I'm finding a lot of our homeowners that we're helping to manage projects on are obtaining that 100,000. But the difficulty being is that you have to finance all of that grant funding yourself. So not many people have 100 grand sitting in the bank. After you buy a vacant property and pay for it, not many people have another 100 grand sitting there.
You're lucky if they're 100 euro.
I know. And if you're spending 100 grand to renovate a property, chances are it needs more than the 100 grand. Now, the government did roll out a low-cost loan at the end of last year whereby homeowners can get a short-term loan for up to 10 years for up to 75,000 euro if you're carrying out an SEA energy upgrade. So if you're availing of the 30-odd thousand of SEA grant funding, you can get a certificate from your project coordinator or your one-stop shop to say that you are doing so, and you can bring that to the bank and you can get another loan for up to 75,000. But most people who avail of that also have a mortgage. The banks will stress test you to ensure that you can pay that back, but you could potentially be sitting in a situation where you have a mortgage and a low-cost loan coming out of your account at the end of every month. The whole low-cost loan scheme was designed to help support homeowners to finance these grants. So the idea of it is that it's a short-term loan that you pay back whenever you get the grants back.
On our earlier podcast, Claire, Paul Dunlop mentioned people with defective blocks in Donegal, but of course we know it's in many other counties across the country, and the difficulty that they have trying to bridge the gaps in the rebuild costs. What are they seeing?
It's really, really difficult. I live in Buncrana in Donegal, so we are in the epicentre of the defective concrete block crisis, and that's exactly what it is, an absolute crisis. The homeowners are faced with huge financial struggle to bridge the gaps. Some homeowners that we're dealing with are covered within the grant schemes, but it's only the smaller sized houses. But even if you are covered in grant funding, again, you only get paid in increments as work is completed. And we're finding it that because the councils at the minute are taking a long time to release each drawdown of funds. So a defective concrete block house starts on site today. The contractor does a month's work. They might have a bill of up to, say, 50 or 60,000 euro on their first drawdown. The homeowner then applies to the local authority to draw down that money. The payments are taking up to 12 weeks at the minute, which is absolutely crucifying for builders. So builders are having to wait 12 weeks on the money at the minute. And in most cases, it results in the projects actually stopping on site because contractors are not the bank for the government. They cannot finance all of these projects. And if you're a contractor with two or three or four or five of these rebuild,
you simply don't have it.
You don't have it. And I put a job out to tender yesterday, actually. It's a defective concrete block rebuild. And I rang four contractors to see if they would be interested in pricing it. And three of them said that they would price it, but they need the homeowner to have the finance in place themselves to be able to pay the first and term valuation. Then the homeowner waits on the money from the local authority. And then when the local authority pays the homeowner, that replenishes their pot of money. So essentially what the three of them said that rang yesterday, the three of them kind of maintained that the homeowner would need 50 to 60,000 euro in their bank account. Not everybody has that.
No, I would say a lot of people definitely don't. Looking into the future, I wanted to try and end on a positive note here, Claire, but I'm kind of struggling a little bit because I looked at the SCSA website and they said, look, inflation is slowing, but it is still positive. It's projected to be 4% increase in 2026 and it's down from 6% this year. Prices aren't coming down anytime soon, are they?
No, unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. The only thing that homeowners have to look forward to is if they can finance these projects, that they will have beautiful energy efficient homes as a result at the end of their project, which if they consider the whole life cycle cost of the home, so the cost to run that house for the next 30 or 40 years is going to be dramatically cheaper than the home that you already have. So I suppose that's maybe a positive spin to put at the end of it.
It'll be worth it in the end. Isn't that what they say? That's what I said to myself for the 18 months we were doing the work on ours. Anyhow, Claire Irwin, thank you so much for all of that information there. It was really useful. We look forward to seeing you back on our screens soon. Good luck trying to keep Dermot Bannon spending under control.
Thanks, I'll need all the luck.
That's it from today's News Talk Daily. Don't forget, you can listen back to our original podcast about defective blocks and every episode of News Talk Daily on the Go Loud player or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. But for now, from me, Ciara Doherty, happy building.